So I want to say to everyone and to mothers, happy Mother's Day. Also to Harrison, thank you so much for doing the reading this morning. We appreciate that. A lot of fond memories about, you know, my mom, and she used to teach Sunday school, so that was always something that was important, and she got us to church and kept us in line. And I can remember Sunday dinners after church and food in the oven and walking in the house and how great it smelled and all those fond memories of your mom and even my grandmother who would sit in the pew behind us and listening to her singing and you know, admonishing one another and thinking about those things with your folks. So a lot of nice things about that. So I just want to mention Mother's Day as well and all the work that it takes to get us all here and do these things. As Harrison read, we were talking about Luke 11:28. So if you look at Luke 11:28, that's the verse that we want to start with. I enjoy this verse. It's probably one of my favorite verses, but it says, "But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And that will be what my sermon is about, which is, what type of soil are you? And then the subtitle to that is, hearing is the answer. So my sermon actually started about, and we were talking about this in the back, with dandelions. We have a tremendous amount of dandelions in our yard this year, and we've tried to go more natural because we understand a lot of chemicals on your yard and work your way somehow into your water supply and all these other things. So we think about that, but the dandelions seem to enjoy that thought pattern as well, because they're doing quite well. And as I mentioned before with my grandmother, you know, I used to mow her yard, so I should preface it with that. I used to mow her yard lots when I was a kid. So in the summers, that was kind of one of our jobs, was mow the lawns. And I used to complain to her about the dandelions that were in her yard. But she would always say stuff like, "Oh, aren't those pretty little sunshines in the yard?" And I would kind of look past her and look at the yard and then come back to her. And I was like, okay. And then I'd go home and was like, "Is grandma okay?" And it's like, at this time, she was younger than I am now. And I thought, you know, grandma's losing it. Because I couldn't stand dandelions in her yard then. And now we have a tremendous amount, which is even more than what she had. But as I was looking out over our dandelions in the yard, a little voice came to me in the back of my head and said, "Aren't those pretty little sunshines?" And it's just like, you know, I need to change my thought pattern here. I am not one of those guys that think that they're pretty little sunshines. I need to hear somebody about how to get rid of these dandelions, maybe without spraying them, but there's got to be a way. And I need to understand, you know, how the dandelions work, how my soil is working, which it just took that yard, you know, maybe 6 months, or maybe it's been a year since we've not really sprayed or put anything on the lawn, and it's really gotten carried away. And the garden is the same way. We worked on the garden this weekend as well. And as you can tell, I'm leaning pretty heavily on this right here, on this wood right here, because I am stiff and sore from all the stuff that we did in the garden and the work that we did. So, you know, I think about that with, it maybe took a week or maybe a month, but a week for the garden to get away and the weeds to go crazy. So when I think about that soil, I want to think about, you know, our soil and what soil that we are in and what we're doing to take care of our spiritual soil. Now, I'm sitting here aching. I have a lot of pain right now from all the bending over and picking up and trying to get our garden all ready and getting all the weeds out of there and all the old weeds and tomato cages and moving all that stuff around. So yeah, I'm sore. And what I think about then is, you know, am I ever sore or tired from all the spiritual things of my soul, I guess, and the soil? I think maybe the only times, some of the times that I've kind of thought, well, you know what, maybe my brain's a little sore, has been after these Wednesdays we've been having in Zechariah. some of these things are hard to understand, and my brain has been just a little bit sore. So the question that I have and want everybody to think about as we go through this and we talk about our soil, is how do you check your soil? How do you really know what kind of soil you're in? And what kind of insight can you get into your soil? And it takes wisdom. So I wrote down Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. If you'd like to take a look at that, Proverbs 4 and verse 7. And it's so simple. And I think this is going to be a simple sermon. But it's also, again, one of my favorite verses, because Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. And whatever you get insight." I even went to the King James and looked at it one other way. It says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding." And so doesn't that make sense? In terms of the garden, it makes sense. It's like, you know, if you don't want weeds in your garden, weed your garden. And if you want wisdom, get wisdom. So I thought, well, you know, maybe it is possible now with all of our technology that maybe we can shortcut this, and I can just ask AI. And we've talked about this. Mark and I have talked about this a little bit. So I thought this past week or past couple weeks, I guess, putting this together, I decided I would ask AI if I should ask AI about Bible discernment. And AI was pretty honest about it. I wrote down what it said. It says, "AI cannot truly discern the deeper spiritual or contextual meanings of the Bible through the Bible itself," because that was the question I asked it, "because it is a data processing tool rather than a conscious, interpretive, or spiritual agent. While AI excels at gathering information, it lacks the lived experience or spiritual insight required at true comprehension." We're not going to be able to shortcut this. It also went on to say, it says, "It processes patterns, not meaning. It predicts the next most likely word in a sequence based on a statistical pattern from its training data. It does not understand the soul or weight of the text. It only imitates understanding of the letter of the text, rather than the spiritual, often miss deeper theological nuances." So, okay, can't shortcut this. Can't use AI to do this. So it's going to boil down to work. But you see in the Bible, it only takes like three chapters in where people are neglecting their soil. I don't know if you paid attention to this, but Adam and Eve didn't catch this message, and she had lack of hearing and understanding very quickly. If you look in Genesis chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17, start there. In verse 15 it says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend to it and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" Now let's skip forward to Genesis chapter 3 and verses 2 through 3. And it says, "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat,'" and she adds something here, "'nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" It's interesting when I read through that and you think about that, because God didn't say, "Don't touch it." God said, "You shall not eat it." So when she touched it, you have to think that, oh, hey, I touched it. No problem here. Nothing's happened. But then when she went ahead and ate it, that's when things started to go downhill. Eve was really foolish about this, and she wasn't understanding. Because you didn't understand the will of the Lord was not to eat the fruit. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, it talks a little bit about being foolish. Ephesians 5, verse 17. And that says, "Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Eve didn't understand. And by looking at this verse, you can really come up with about three things that you can imply to this. The verse in and of itself implies that the will of the Lord is available to man. It's available. It implies the ability the average man can read, study, and apply the scriptures. It's not saying go to the smartest guy. And it says, depends then upon one's desire to study and then to apply them to our lives. We will not be foolish. If you look at Ephesians, let's move on or move back just a little bit. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4 says, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery. I always like when things say mystery because it just sets off my mind to all these different things. But the mystery of Christ. Is this some sort of mystery that I never understand? But it says, when you read it, you may understand it. There's another similar verse to that, and that starts getting us into the topic of our soil, is in Matthew chapter 13. So if you could mark your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13 and Mark chapter 4, we'll kind of bounce back and forth between those as we go. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 11, it says, he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Now I'm going to read Mark chapter 4. It's a little bit longer than what we normally read. I know Dennis apologized. I'll apologize about it as well. But I'm going to read Mark chapter 4 and verses 1 through 23 so that you can see how Jesus laid out this wonderful parable for understanding and hearing. Not only is this parable talking about sowing the seed, but it brings forth the idea of what is our soil as we think about it. There's lots of different things to think about through here. And are we hearing as we should and bearing fruit from being the good soil? Now out there, Brian was talking about, and I know Mark mentioned it in class this morning, about soil. You know, when I was a kid, we had a guy that actually, he had a different job, but he wanted to farm. So he bought a few acres and had this old tractor. It was like, wow, how are you ever going to farm with that tractor? And, the guys that farmed around him had some nice machinery, knew how to prepare the soil. This guy didn't know anything about doing that. And, of course, they would prepare their soil, look great. And then he wasn't able to get this old tractor out there to even get it running. So his soil wasn't looking too good, and it was a rainy year, so he didn't get anything hardly out there. And so finally he decided, had a buddy that had a helicopter, and he'd just go dump his soybeans out there and plant them and just dump them out on the field from the helicopter. Well, the guys then that actually did a good job with their soil, worked hard with the soil, that crop looked really good. But I was out there with, because this guy's friend was a kid that I went to school with, dumping a helicopter full of beans on top of your soil doesn't get you anything. And if you don't take care of your soil, you don't get any place at all. So that, I don't even think he harvested that year. So as Brian was out there, I'm adding this, Brian, so because that's the way things happen. But you have to take care of your soil. And Mark chapter 4 is going to help us with that. It says, and again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, you need to hear. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Just like this guy that was planting his beans. I mean, they went everywhere. Who knows where they went? Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on the good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So back to hearing. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. So it's explained here in 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on the good ground. Those who bear the word accept it, and bear fruit some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Also he said to them, as a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed, it is not to be set on a lampstand, for there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but it should come to light. And then in 23 again it says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So all those things talk about the soil, and it is also mentioned in Isaiah chapter 6 verses 9 through 10. So I want to turn there as we go through and dig deep into this parable. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. That says, and he said, go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. That goes right along with Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. So now if we flip back to Matthew, let's look at verse 15. That says, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and here we go, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. So this is a very simple message that what I have today, it boils down to four words. Hearing, hear, then you understand, then you turn. We talked about turn this morning was even mentioned. Or obey. And then you heal. Those four words are how it is to have good soil. And then you act upon that soil in James chapter 1 and verse 22. We always remember this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That was James 1:22. So this is also something that I want to think about, and I want you to think about, is Matthew 13 as we move on, and 16 through 17. I hadn't really thought about this too much, but as this verse kind of popped out, it made me think about the prophets and the people that came beforehand, the righteous, that would have loved to have heard, you know, how we close the sermon. They would have loved to hear Bruce's talk and the things that he read about the Lord's Supper and been active in that. All those things they were looking for and were trying to find. So in Matthew chapter 13 and verses 16 through 17, it says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. Here we go again with hearing. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So these things that we have today that we can hear, this word was so desired by those people that sometimes it's been my thought that we take these things for granted. Because if you look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 10 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 1 and 10 through 12, and that'll go a little deeper explanation here. That says, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So I find that really as something that I hadn't looked at before, but all those people would love to have heard, be able to hear the word and the things and be able to improve their soil and work on their soil just like what we have the opportunity to do today. And then as we work through Mark and we end up in Mark chapter 4 verses 36 through 41, it seems this is purposefully placed, perfectly placed, about hearing and about the lesson before on the parable to the sower. The timing of this is just, you know, when you think about Jesus and how he talked about in parables and teaching, this is really interesting that where this is placed. In 36 it says, and leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him, and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke, and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And it seems to me before the wind and the sea obeyed him, they had to hear him. Which goes right back to everything that we've talked about today and how things get started, that we need to hear. We need to understand. We need to turn, and I call that word obey. And so that's how everything works, and that would be everything that I have to discuss today about our soil. But I wanted to end it with even the wind and the sea obey him, because those are the things that we need to do to become a Christian. We need to hear that word that's in Romans 10:17. Have that faith, understanding. We need to repent. In Matthew 10:23, we must confess. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. And we need to be baptized, as in Acts 2:38. And as Dennis and Mark always mentioned too, we need to be faithful, as we see in Revelations 2 and verse 10. So at the end of these sermons, we give this invitation, or if anyone is struggling, we feel free to come up and we can also offer prayers as we go ahead and finish our song.